Today I got to talk to Jillian, and she, we talk about how to balance health goals with body acceptance and how to improve your relationship with food. She's super smart, very intelligent. She has transformed her life from, body image focus, weight loss focus into really just a space of being appreciative of the now and of the happy, healthy, what I think most of us are actually striving for. So we talked a lot about that today, actually, what creating goals that are around your core values and what you really want, or is it something that's being created just out of almost not necessity, but like it's because what everyone's doing, it's what everyone's doing and it's what you're seeing. So you think that you gotta fall in line and lose that 10 pounds too. But it was a great conversation. She spoke a little bit about living in Spain and what that looks like and how the cultures are different and her experience with CrossFit and hearing her story and the challenges that she has moved through and moved past, I think can be really insightful and really helpful if you're currently on a health weight loss journey and you're not satisfied yet, not satisfied now. Maybe you've gotten to a goal weight and you're not happy still, and that is very much her experience, and she shares that in this episode. But she herself is a nutrition, body image, and mindset focused coach who supports clients in rebuilding trust with food and their bodies. Her clients are women who want to live full, meaningful, and fun lives and want to focus on health and well-being that doesn't rely on the macros, restrictive diets, or progress photos. She spent most of her life wishing she could fix her body. And many years jumping from diet to diet until she realized her health was suffering. She couldn't have a period, and her life revolved around diet and training schedules. She now helps her clients define their core values, and those values are what help them develop the more balanced approach to eating and a positive body image. She has education and background certificates from Precision Nutrition and ANEF Sports Nutrition, as well as professional education and acceptance and commitment therapy, compassion-focused therapy, motivational interviewing, binge eating, and body image training. And you can learn more about her and her philosophy and methods on her website, Bite Size, or on Instagram. And of course, I'll put those in the show notes. And her freebie is a mindful eating cheat and guide. So don't forget to grab that. But without further ado, here is our episode. There you go. Hey, lovely ladies, it's Jen. I'm a mental wellness weight loss coach, and I help women who are struggling with emotional eating. It can be a roller coaster ride of cravings and comfort and just drive you absolutely bonkers. So I break down how you break free from emotional eating, binge eating, chronic dieting, and kind of take a new approach, an untraditional approach to the way we look at eating, the way we look at weight loss, and the way that we look at living. So enjoy. And as my 7-year-old would like to say, sharing is caring. So send to a friend you think would benefit. And of course, on your socials, I'll love you forever. And don't forget to subscribe to Freedom Within to not miss any other future interviews or episodes. To the show, enjoy. This podcast is for educational purposes only and should not be used as medical treatment or medical diagnosis. Okay, I'm with Jillian today, and I'm excited to talk to her because her background, I feel, is very similar to mine. I feel like we're going to have a lot to connect on just like coming from the same space. But can you tell us about you from you? I just read a little bit about you in the bio, but just tell us your story and who you are and kind of how you got to this place.
Yeah, so I'm Jillian. I'm originally from California. I've been living in Barcelona now for almost a decade. And I've been coaching for about 7 years, but interestingly, the way that I coach really transformed about 3 to 4 years ago. And part of that is because of who I am and how I've transformed, because I had been sort of stuck in the cycle of trying to hit a goal weight, believing that like once I reached, a certain size, that all of a sudden things would fall into place in life. And I realized at a point that I was stuck in a cycle of really disordered eating habits. I had hit that goal weight. I technically had the quote unquote dream body, and my life was not as great as I thought it was going to be. I was more self-conscious than ever. My hormones, I hate using sort of the general hormones term, but I hadn't had a period in 3 years. My entire personality was macro tracking, and I had come across this concept of core values and like core values aligned living. And that for me really changed everything, because I realized that I wasn't living my life in a way that aligned with who I am and who I want to be. And a big part of that was that so much of my energy was going into controlling my body and controlling my food intake. And so I really started to dive into understanding mindful eating and intuitive eating. I started digging into and educating myself, taking so many more courses around psychology, behavior change, really understanding kind of how our minds and our emotions work. And so now I coach more around the concepts of core values and how to live a full, meaningful life and eat in a way that supports you doing that. And so much of my work is really based around mindful eating, intuitive eating, and different branches of psychology. And I guess that is probably the quickest I've ever explained how I got to where I am today.
Yeah, you hit a lot there. I mean, it is difficult. I think correlating somebody to have their best life and their best weight doesn't always, like, I think sometimes we're trading one for the other, or we think that we have to, or you have to give up something. We're very much taught in, you know, culture of like, you have to sacrifice to get what you want. And I love that you're sharing, like, that you had the body, you actually got to the point, you reached the goals, and that you still didn't actually, it wasn't like the big, I guess, you know, finish line that you thought it would be. And for women that are in that space, they're waiting to get there and feeling not the best, like they're not even there yet and they don't feel great. To think that you could get there and still not feel great, I think is a really, really important thing to highlight. Like, it's not the actual number that's what's going to make you happy. How did you start to figure this out? How did you think, like, well, obviously you got to the thing and realized, okay, life should be better. And I love that for like asking better questions of like, how can I make my life better versus how can I get, you know, the number on the scale lower? And even when you get to that place of, you would think that if you're working on your body, you're working on your health, it's a very admirable goal. But when it becomes all encompassing, when it becomes like hyper-focused, it is kind of another form of disordered functioning, even though it's towards something that could be helpful to you. Like, we've gone off the rails. I did the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I jumped in that way.
I think there's a line that so many of us aren't aware of, because we grow up, so many of us grow up in a world in which changing our body to fit a certain standard is like the ultimate goal. And we sort of have this idea, we sort of idealize this body shape that may not even be possible for our genetics, right? Like, we idealize this and we think, okay, when I get there, this is how I will feel, right? But we forget that we create how we feel, right? And so I had this idea of like, oh, well, when I hit this goal weight, I will feel confident. But I can take actions that show myself confidence at any body weight. And I think this is really challenging for many women to really understand, because we think like, well, no, when I look this way, then I will act in a way that is confident. And there really is nothing stopping us from acting in a way that is confident at the weight that you are now. Like, we might say, oh, well, I'll be able to wear XYZ clothing and then I'll feel confident. And it's not the clothing that makes you confident. It's the way you walk into a room, the way you make eye contact with people, the way you smile about people, the way you speak about yourself, your self-talk, the activities you participate in. There's so many different ways in which we can feel confidence that aren't necessarily tied to needing to look a certain way. That's a really big mental hurdle to get over.
Mm-hmm. I had to think of it in the sense of like trading it gender-wise with men, like how I think it's very easy. The appearance of man, I think, is a little different than how we, you know, are culturally implicated for women. But as for men, I can look at a man that maybe isn't necessarily like isn't attractive, but can be extremely magnetic and extremely like attractive in a different way because of the confidence or the knowing within. Like, I think they get that a little easier than women. And you could just decide, I'm going to be confident. Like, does that, do you ever think about it like that?
Well, you know, what's interesting is there's been research done like around imposter syndrome, for example, and like men are much more likely to apply to a job that they're not necessarily fully qualified for. Whereas a woman will be like, oh no, I'm totally not qualified for that job. And it's definitely, there is something to be said for how we are socialized. I think it's hard to draw like sweeping generalizations because obviously individual experience is so different, but there very much is a focus on like female objectification. So essentially, like, we've learned to self-objectify. So we have learned that our value lies in what we look like, right? And some people might argue that that has, I'm sorry, I'm getting like way deep into.
I like it. Go deep.
And so like some might argue that this has to do with like patriarchy. We're essentially like women within the patriarchy exist to be objectified. And when we start to break out of that and realize, oh wait, my value lies outside of what I look like. Like, we can hold two things to be true. It can be true that my value is so much greater than what I look like, and I can choose to lose weight or build muscle or whatever if I want to, but I don't need to do that in order to increase my value as a human. And that's a very, very different feeling. And that, I think, for me was really big, because a big thing was this idea in my head of, when I hit this goal weight, I will have more admiration from men. I'll, you know, get the relationship that I wanted and all of that stuff. And it's so funny because now, having really recovered my relationship with food, I have no idea how much weight, my weight has changed, because I haven't weighed myself in years. And I'm still very much like a healthy, fit individual. I do not know how much I weigh. Yes, you can be both. And I'm also in like the most incredible relationship I've ever been in. And so it's one of those things where we think like, oh, if I look the part, I'll get what I want. And that's not necessarily the case, because people don't want to be with you because you weigh X pounds. People want to be with you because like you're a really cool human being.
Mm-hmm. And you have energy and you're vibrant and it's fun in the bedroom.
Exactly.
And like that, it is funny how like I know a lot of women that maybe they were at like bikini competition, like looked their best ever, and behind closed doors they were miserable because they were moody.
Yep.
They were hangry, they were tired, they were irritable. Like, it was, you know, it was not the vibe they were looking for, but it was the body they wanted. They just couldn't, you know, pull the two together. So how do you start to kind of break down and figure out how to get into this space of knowing who you are now? How do you start to become that confident woman now, not quite in the body that you might not necessarily end up in? Or maybe it is. Maybe it is in a matter of acceptance and understanding you're already there. You've already made it.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, a lot of people sort of in the quote unquote like anti-diet space or like, you cannot pursue intentional weight loss. I don't believe that. Mm-hmm. I think that it's complete, like, it's your body. You have full autonomy over what you do with your body. And if you choose to pursue weight loss, freaking awesome. That's up to you. Like, mm-hmm. I am not here to tell you not to. I have clients that have those goals and I support them in that. But I think the first step is really understanding, like, walking through, and this is something I do with all of my clients when we first get started together, is we really work on defining like, what are your values? What's important to you? And when you ask like, well, what are my core values? Literally, those are the principles by which you would like to live your life. They're the things that are the most important to you. So for me, the most important things are connection, curiosity, creativity, and freedom. And I got there by like a series of questions. And this was through some of the like epiphanies that I had at this moment where I was like, I hit my goal weight. Why am I not happy? And so through reading, I kind of got here. And there are, like, if you Google online, like how to define your core values, you can do that. And it will essentially help you understand, well, what are the, like, how do you want to be described as a human? Like, what's important to you? What lights you up? And most of us, like, I very rarely come across a client that says, you know, appearance is one of my core values. And one of the clients specifically that I remember when we started, appearance was one of her core values. By the time we finished working together, she realized, she was like, I don't value appearance as much as I thought I did. I just was really stuck in believing that my value laid in how much I weighed and what I looked like. And so, for someone to get started, I would say, get curious, like, what's really important to you, right? Is it your family? Is it security? Is it humor? Is it integrity? Is it, you know, connection with other people? What is it? And then from there, I would break it down and understand, like, are your current goals moving you closer to being in alignment with those principles, right? Like, are your current goals disconnecting you from the people around you or connecting you with the people around you? Are they disconnecting you from yourself, right? And then from there, like, I talk about values a lot because that can really help you get to know who you are. And then we can actually take goals and break them down into actions that align with your values or don't, right? And I often will say this to clients that are coming out of like chronic dieting or just more disordered eating, is that you can do the same things with different intentions and the outcome will be different, right? Like, I can fill my plate with protein and veggies and have the thoughts of like, I have to do this because this is like, if I don't eat this, then, you know, I'm going to gain a bunch of weight, and I could have these like really negative thoughts about it. Or I could be like, I want to nourish my body with protein and vegetables because it makes me feel good, right? And those have very different feelings and lead to very different outcomes. One of them, you're probably going to feel pretty deprived and like want to quote unquote cheat on your diet. I'm using air quotes here. And then the other one, you're going to probably be like, I'm choosing these foods because they align with my goals. They align with my values. And you're also not limiting yourself to only those foods.
I thank you for taking us through a little bit of what like core values mean and like knowing where to get to it and just kind of outlining that a little bit for everybody. But I think it's true. I think a lot of emotional eaters have huge like hyper focus on appearance, because then it's a indicator you've reached your goal when you get to that appearance, where you're not necessarily like, I love that you're saying like, you need to stop and take a minute and figure out what your goals really are, because you think it's the weight loss and the appearance because of what, how we've grown up maybe, or just the, you know, affirmation that you gotten once when you did lose weight before, or, you know, those kind of things tend to happen. But yeah, emotional eaters definitely hyper-focus on looks. Is there anything else you could share about how to like shift from being hyper-focused on looks and our body image and the way that we feel and the way that we look?
Yeah. One of my favorite ways to work on this with clients is by encouraging them to practice something called body functionality appreciation. Mm-hmm. And this is, there's some really interesting research around this as well, where like when individuals start to see their bodies as more of a process rather than an object, it can really change how we feel about our bodies. And so I talked about self-objectification earlier, which is essentially like seeing ourselves as an object to be judged on looks. And when we see our body to as something to be judged on looks, we're seeing it as, like I said, this object, but our body is a constant process. Like, everything that we do, from the words that are coming out of my mouth, like, my body is helping me create that, right? Mm-hmm. And so part of body functionality appreciation is really learning to direct your attention to the functions that your body is doing for you on a regular basis. And things that I just got off a client call about an hour ago, and we had this conversation around exercise. And this is a client who has always seen exercise, I'm going to correct myself. Not always, but for about the last 10 years has seen exercise as a way to burn calories and control her weight. Right. Mm-hmm. And so we talked about what it might be like for her to go to the gym without using her Apple Watch to track her heart rate. And we talked about going into the gym and noticing as she does a pull-up, what it feels like to do that pull-up, and appreciating the ability that her arms can pull herself up. Appreciating the ability to like lift heavy weights. And she had this huge smile on her face as we were talking about this. And then when we finished, she was like, I'm so excited to go to the gym now, because I've realized that I can go into this thinking about all of the ways that my body is functioning rather than just seeing the gym as this way to control my weight. And this is something that you can do, like wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and instead of looking at the things that you hate, be like, I am so grateful for my arms for allowing me to hug the people I love. Mm-hmm. You know, I am so grateful for, you know, my brain for letting me have a deep sleep last night. Like, your body is this absolutely incredible thing that is so much more than what it looks like. And the more that you can draw your attention to that on purpose, the less you are going to be constantly thinking about what it looks like.
Yeah. Having the intentionality be different. And then also it's the whole process feel different. So it's not about getting through and getting done. Like, you're enjoying it as you're doing it, which you're going to do it longer if it's something that you enjoy and she's excited to go back to the gym again. Like, that in itself, it sounds simple, but will make the difference between continuing something or giving up on something and like trying to get out of it with all the different excuses that are always there.
Yeah.
So, I've never heard the term body functioning appreciation before. So I think that's super cool. So thanks for sharing that. How do you improve your relationship with food? So you're improving your relationship with your body. And then what about with food?
Yeah, we could go so many different directions with that. I think the first step is identifying what's not working for you. And I think here it does take a lot of honesty, because there's fear around improving relationship with food, because often people associate improving my relationship with food means I can't diet, which means I'm going to gain weight and, oh my God, everything's going to suck and it's all going to fall down. Right. And I think here, one of the important steps to improving your relationship with food is sometimes being able to put the fat loss goal on pause. And I have a podcast episode on getting over the fear of weight gain, because it's often our fear of weight gain that does kind of two things. One, it may drive more weight gain because of the way that we approach food. And two, it keeps us from actually putting attention on wanting to improve our relationship with food. And so one of the ways that I really like to approach this with clients is helping them understand, like, what are the behaviors that are not serving you right now, and really understand why they're not serving you. And sometimes that is like, hey, you know, I'm tracking my macros. And for some people, tracking macros can be such an incredible tool, right? And for other people, tracking macros can be really disordered, and it can become obsessive. It can be one of those things that, like, when you're tracking, you eat quote unquote perfectly. And when you're not tracking, you're like eating like a toddler.
Mm-hmm.
And so understanding, like, what's not working for me, and then understanding, what do I want to feel like in my relationship with food? What are some things that I want to start doing that show myself that I can have a positive relationship with food? And a really key step in this is also starting to overcome the good food, bad food mindset. This one is key, and it can simply start with, like, recognizing and changing the language that you use around food. And even if you don't believe in it first, like, changing that language can sometimes help you almost like program your brain to start believing it.
I think language is huge. And like, and the mind body connection, what you're thinking, like, your body's receiving. So if you're thinking something's bad before you eat it, it can set up your stress response, kick that in, which goes in digestion, how you assimilate the food. I think it's crazy how it's all connected. So highlighting that, I think, is important. It's always deeper. I feel like it's always deeper. Do you feel like that, Jillian? Like, it's like, it's never that top layer thing. It's like, you need to just keep going and digging a little further.
Yeah. And I also want to acknowledge that, like, it's okay to feel scared, and it's okay to feel like sad also, like a little bit sad about, hey, I'm letting go of these behaviors that I've done for like 10 plus years. Like, that can be scary. And it's also challenging because we've normalized so many behaviors that are really not helpful for a healthy relationship with food. Like, it's so normal. I know, like, I don't know when this episode is airing, but like right now we're like around the holidays. And I guess this is relevant for like months, because the beginning of the year is always a little bit wild. But there's so much talk around like, oh my gosh, I'm so bad, I shouldn't eat that. And it's something that everyone talks about food like that. And so I think that you can be like the first person in your family or in your friend group or in, you know, your circle that starts to use more neutral language towards food and towards yourself. And you can even set an example, like set an example for your kids.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So I have a question about being in Spain.
Yeah.
What is that like? Is that different than what we've like, is it a lot different from where you, from America, where you came from? Or do you see a difference in the neutrality of food or body or like?
You know what's so interesting is I love this question because I've now, you know, I've lived here for a really long time and I've been both like on the diet side and the non-diet side. I've been, you know, both I used to coach CrossFit. So I've been in so many different realms of like life here. And there's so I laugh because you guys might laugh when you hear this too. But there's a lot of like old wives' tales about like what you should or shouldn't eat here that I found really, really interesting. And there's a very, very strong belief around like certain foods at certain times only. And so I remember like the first time someone said, well, I'm only supposed to eat one egg a week. And it was like, my grandma told me that. And I was like, what are you talking? Like one egg a week? Or there was here, it was very much like, you can't eat lettuce. You can't eat lettuce at night because it will make you bloated. Like I think a lot of the similar things that we hear in the States, but it was the way that people had really believed this stuff based on something that like, well, my mom told me that. And my mom has zero nutrition education. And then all of a sudden it's this thing that these people have been following for like their entire lives. I do have to say though, the culture here is very much more of like being with people. And I think especially when we go to eat out, like it's very normal for us to sit at the table for like 3 hours, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not like we get in, we eat our food and we get out. And that I think was a big difference. And it's really cool because the focus of eating with people is like being with people, not the eating so much. And so, you know, naturally, portions are smaller here. Food tends to be a little bit less like highly processed, I guess you could say. Although there is still a lot of quite highly processed food. There's just like less variety, I guess. But I think here there very much still is a diet mindset, mostly because the like nutrition industry is overwhelmingly occupied by individuals that are still giving meal plans. So yeah, there's definitely quite a lot of differences, but some of them are great. And some of them I'm like, oh God, are we still doing the meal plan thing, guys?
it's everywhere. So for people that are like, I would love to move to Spain to like get into an environment that focuses more on food than people. Cause a lot of times it is your environment that helps you to change who you are, but at the same time you take yourself everywhere you go. So you really do want to be able to work on who you are, how you show up. How can shift into bringing like that, the benefits of living in Spain, of making, I love that you said that they focused on food versus, it's still part of it. Like it's not negating food. It just gets to be part of it. But like the focus and the attention and the connection, you're instead of connecting with food, you're connecting with people. How can we bring that in without actually packing up our bags and moving it to a different country?
Hello.
I'm interrupting myself because I just want to say thank you for being here. I appreciate that you're here. And if you're enjoying and appreciating these episodes, please leave a 5-star review and a comment. It helps this podcast get out to more women to hear about how they can overcome emotional eating, binge eating, secret eating, and have more enjoyable, pleasurable weight loss. I want that for you. It is possible. Do not forget to go to the show notes and look at all the resources that are available to you as you go on your journey. And with that, back to the show.
Oh, the hell. Can I curse on this podcast?
Oh, no? Absolutely. Yes, you can.
Slow the fuck down. Like, slow down. Mm-hmm. Put your phone away. Like, I tend to use my phone quite a lot for work. But when I am like spending time with my partner or when I am with my friends, like our phones don't come out. Like our phones are away. And that I think is huge. I think also we very much prioritize the people in your life. And that might be like scheduling a phone call with them, you know, saying, hey, let's meet up for coffee instead of, you know, sending text messages back and forth, like let's go grocery shopping together, like do things with the people in your life. Mm-hmm. Because here, you know, a friend of mine came to visit like a couple weeks ago and we had lunch together and I was telling her how I see my girlfriends like 2 or 3 times a week and her jaw like hit the ground. She was like, you see your friends 2 or 3 times during the week? And I was like, yeah, that's not counting weekends. And it was, she lives in New York and she was like, that is just unheard of that you're with the people, like that you're with your friends so often. And I think that bringing that community in rather than like sort of living it through maybe social media can be really, really helpful. Mm-hmm. And like communicating it to the people that you love, that you want to spend time with them and that they're important to you, I think is a really big thing. And then also like eat enough food. Like you're more likely to, if you never allow yourself to eat French fries, then of course you're going to be focused on the French fries when you go out to eat.
100,000%. I can attest to that. Okay. So, cause I honestly think as just being a human, like it's a human thing. Connection is high up. It should be on everybody's list. I think it's just like innately like designed within us. And I love that you're saying this about social media, even though it's connecting us, it's not the same as meeting your friends for in real life. And I have a girlfriends group and we meet, I don't know, we've been friends since high school and it's like quarterly now. We all have kids and we're always like, next month, it'll be next month or two of us will show up. And it's like, we need to get together more often. So I'm going to think like it's a good, just highlighting this of like, it can be done. People are doing it. It's the priority list. So you in this podcast, just even starting from the beginning of like reverse engineer your actual wants and go from there, like finding those goals and what those things actually mean to you. And it might shift the priorities throughout the day and the way that you look at what you do day to day, which is ultimately what's going to give you your outcomes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also we want to acknowledge that like a lot of the time we end up stuck in like an emotional eating cycle because food is like a source of joy and mm-hmm. it becomes a source of joy. And it like, I want to acknowledge that it's okay that food is a source of joy. Like food is pleasurable. It should be pleasurable. Like that it is one of the many pleasures of life, but it should be one of the many joys, not the joy. And I think that when we are in a cycle of like doing the same thing every day, like being on autopilot and being really kind of caught up in the mindlessness of it all, then having that like glass of wine or chocolate or ice cream or whatever it is, that can be the main source of joy in a day. And that doesn't mean that there's no other joy in your day. That just means it's the only joy you're paying attention to. And so I was going to an appointment yesterday and I was on the metro and I made a list in my notes app of things that bring me joy that are not food. And it came from a conversation that I had with a client. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to make a list of the things that bring me joy outside of food. And it was so interesting because like to a certain extent, I wrote down a few and then I had a few pop up that were food related. And I was like, the challenge for me right now is like non-food related. And the point here is like, we don't want to negate that food can be a joy, but we also want to see like, can we make a list of like 10 different things and maybe three of them are food, right? And this can, I would actually recommend like, if you are listening, make a list. And things on my list are like, a friend of mine was laughing because I shared it on social media. And one of them was like walking past someone that smells good or like making eye contact with a puppy. And those things like truly bring me joy, right? Mm-hmm. And they may be different for you. Like maybe it's, you know, the way your child looks when they wake up or like the feeling of, you know, your partner giving you a hug or the sun that shines in your window. It doesn't matter, but bring your attention to those things. And that may reduce the like big space that food takes up as that source of joy.
Yeah. And they're all present moment things that happen in the now. Yeah. Because if your joy is related to that 50-pound weight loss, you can't lose 50 pounds today. Like you just can't, unless you lose like an arm or a leg, which wouldn't be exciting. Like that's not going to be a good thing. So you then automatically can't have joy because you can't lose the 50 pounds in a day, but you can, just like you said, find those moments and those, you can have the food related joy and then also bringing in those non-food related joy moments, have a joyful day as you're working on your goals towards weight loss. That is part of your life. Like it's just like all these puzzle pieces coming together to fit. I love that. Okay. So I actually, something came in for me. Well, two things. I think this conversation, I've heard you taking a stand for the and, like two things can be true at the same time. Like, I feel like that's, I want listeners to hear that because we can have that feeling of like that imposter syndrome or this can't possibly work when really you can figure it out. Like you taking that stand for the and then I think women are using those meal plans as a way to numb out and go into autopilot and just get through it and not see it. Like, gives them structure, yes, but it takes away like the creativity. It takes away your enjoyment of figuring out what you actually like what you don't like. Like, I think the meal plans can, they serve a purpose for sometimes, or even maybe just foundationally to get some, like, you know, figure out. But in a whole, I honestly think they're like taking away more from you than they're giving you. So finding a different way in by creating those relationships with a better relationship with food, having those core values be front, you know, focused, makes more sense to me. Even now, you know what I mean? Like, we've just been conditioned over the years by diets to say, to go to the meal plan and this is your exercise routine. And those things are like, they're autopilot. It's like being able to check out to do those things. So we want to check in. We want to like turn on to life.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely agree with that. And I think, you know, I know you mentioned that a lot of the women that you work with are like in their 40s, they've probably got kids, they're likely partnered or maybe not, I don't know. But I think a really big part that a really big thing that we need to recognize is like, nutrition and exercise are part of our lives. Like, they're not separate from our lives. And so if you're making a totally different meal for yourself and then another meal for the rest of your family, like, that doesn't fit into your life, right? And the same thing, like, if you're exercising, but you feel like it just doesn't fit in with everything else you have to do, or you feel like you're forcing yourself to do it, like, there isn't just one way to exercise, just like there isn't one food that like you magically have to eat in order to lose weight. And so I think looking at like, how do I integrate these things into my life? Like, maybe instead of going to walk on the treadmill, like, go take your family for a walk, right? Like, instead of making, you know, chicken and broccoli for you and then like mac and cheese for the family, like, can you have mac and cheese as some of your carbs and fat and then add in some protein and veggies so that you're still like getting what you need and adding in what you want as well? And I think looking at it from that perspective, instead of like, I need to do this separate from everything else in my life, will likely make it a lot easier. And I also want to remind people, like, losing weight is not a behavior. Like, I cannot do losing weight, right? I can do, like, I'm going to cook myself a healthy breakfast this morning, but I cannot be like, well, I'm going to lose weight. Like, that's not a behavior that we can actually define. And so I think we can get really stuck in this, like, I just need to lose weight, but we're missing that, like, what are the behaviors that are actually going to support your life in order to help you get to that ultimate goal and help you live your life while you're getting to that goal?
I love it. Is there anything that you would encourage someone to, I mean, you've already actually gave quite a few things that are super helpful. Is anything else come up for you? You'd be like, if someone's struggling today, like, to direct them?
Yeah, I would say probably back, like, rewind to the part where I was talking about body functionality. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of a big driver behind our issues with food or our challenges with food comes from overvaluation of weight and shape, which essentially means like you're putting too high of a value on how much you weigh or what your body looks like. And that can actually keep you from being more consistent with your eating. That can keep you from seeing progress towards your goals, because how often, and you've probably had clients that have done this where they've gotten on the scale, oh my God, the scale is up, screw this, this isn't working, like, whatever. And it's like, no, that's normal. Like, the scale is going to go up and down. But if the scale is less important, we don't get thrown off by these things. And the scale should not be very important. Even if you are working towards fat loss, the scale should not be the most important thing in your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, often too, like, your body can get smaller and leaner and the scale cannot change. I do think there's just too much emphasis on the scale. It's not like, doesn't give you your health. You can be really, really slim, very, very low scale, like, oriented and be very unhealthy. Like, you know what I mean? You can have this 40, or you just never know what's
Like, when I was at my lowest weight and you would have looked at me and been like, wow, that girl looks so fit. She looks so amazing. My hair was falling out. I had no sex drive. I would wake up in the middle of the night and I was hungry. I thought about food literally all the time. Like, but you look and you're like, oh my God, but she's so tiny. She looks so great. Yeah. I felt terrible.
So tiny does not equate health.
Yeah.
And it can for some. There are women that are just naturally slim. They just are very skinny. Like, there are body types that it is, that is how they were made genetically, and we should celebrate their bodies too. But I do think it's getting into like, where does my body feel the best? Where do I operate the best? Where do I have the best energy? Yeah. Where do I have the best sex drive? Where do I have the best, you know, sleep? Like, all of those things are just so important and really important metrics to be looking at over the scale.
100%. And I had an epiphany. I think that this is just a funny anecdote, is I had an epiphany probably a couple years ago now, where I realized I was like dancing around my house and like singing songs to my dog. And I stopped and I was like, I never used to do this when I was dieting. And the reason I never used to do it is because I didn't have the energy. Like, I literally didn't have the energy to just like randomly start dancing or like sing a song. And that's because not only do our bodies like need calories to do things, but like our brain needs calories to be a brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For on a functional level, it needs, you need to feed your body for fuel and for fun.
Yep.
What is, has CrossFit changed for you as you change this mentality?
Yeah. I don't do CrossFit anymore. No. CrossFit was one of the drivers behind my disordered habits. The CrossFit environment that I was in, and I don't want to speak for all of them, there's a great community aspect, but in the CrossFit environment that I was in, there was a lot of body talk. There was like, when I was coaching, I had a coworker that would like, if I was wearing just a sports bra, he would come and like pinch my belly and like comment on how fat or skinny I was that day, which obviously like I didn't change that much from day to day. And so like, for me, it was a really negative, like very, very appearance focused environment. And I still lift weights. I lift weights like 4 times a week and I feel strong and I love it. But I'm not in the CrossFit community anymore, just because for me, the specific gym and how I was involved in it was very much like contributing to some of the challenges that I had. And I just didn't want to like hang out with people that just wanted to talk about working out all the time, to be honest.
No, I've always felt, I initially felt bad for not being able to tap into communities like that, because I was like, I just have no interest. This is not exciting to me to roll a tire downhill. But at the same time, I know some people it works for. Know thyself. Like, if you're the person that loves it and it helps you, you're inspired by it, by all means, keep going. And then also know you get to move around, jump around, find your people, find your environment, move. And you also might grow out of your environment that you're in now, that you get to move from there. So I feel like giving us the permission to give not only the ability to eat more food, but the permission to change our identity along the way is like really, really important.
Yeah. And like, to be honest, like some CrossFit gyms are fantastic. I mentor a nutrition coach who also owns a CrossFit gym. And like, I know, because I mentor her, that her gym is like super welcoming. And there's focus more on like, what can we do? There's not a lot of like push to lift weights that are too heavy. It's more of like, let's have a good time. Let's be super welcoming. And like, some gyms are like that. And that is so cool. And it just so happened that like my specific one wasn't. I still have a lot of respect for CrossFit, and like, who knows, maybe I will dabble in it again, but yeah, not for me right now.
For the season, which it will be right for, it will be right for or not. I like that. So cool. I love that we got to talk today. We kind of hit like a lot of different things, which is, I like that, you know what I mean? To get to know someone in a different level of like why you're living where you are, why you do the things you do. Where can people find more about you though? If they want to like extend this conversation, they want to kind of get even more, because we didn't even tap into like tons of stuff. So how can they find you?
Well, I'm very active on Instagram. So you can find me. I'm Bite Size Nutri. And I have a weekly podcast. It's called the Bite Size Nutrition Podcast. It's usually just me giving actionable tips for how to change the way that you think about your body, for you to change the way you think about food, to essentially just change the way that you think about how you treat yourself. And then I also, yes, if you want to learn more about mindful eating, I offer a free mindful eating cheat sheet and guide. That is a great way to sort of like, dabble into some of the mindful eating practices. And occasionally I show up on TikTok, but don't go find me there, because sometimes it's just like random videos of my dog.
I tried to do TikTok. I just could not get, I don't know. I don't know if I'm just too old. Like, I know, I'm sure there's old people on there too. I don't know. I couldn't do it either. It was just not my thing. I was like, nope. I did it like 3 or 4 times. I'm like, never mind. Maybe one day. It's not my place.
I love watching TikToks because I love the dog adoption videos. As you can tell, I am a dog person. So I love the like dog adoption videos and like videos of people's puppies. So that's why I love TikTok.
Well, if you love TikTok for dog videos, go hang out with Jillian too. You found your person. And but yeah, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate your time and sharing your story with us. And I know like women, I know someone can relate to this or is in this space now. And I think we just need to keep having conversations like this until I know it's shifting. Do you feel like it's shifting? I feel like we're finally getting to a place where it's like the curve is happening, like it's being impacted. Don't you agree?
I'm smiling because every time I think that that's true, I see like a new wave of people being like, of people using like intuitive eating for weight loss. And I'm like, no, we cannot, no. So I think that there is a larger sector of our industry that is more like well-informed about how damaging like traditional dieting methods can be. I think that it's really, it's challenging because I think that there's a dichotomy within our industry now of like people that are like, no, you cannot want to lose weight because if you do, that is disordered. And then there's people that are like, I will make you more confident through weight loss. And it's like neither of those ends of the spectrum are where like, I mean, there's research on this stuff. Like it's not like, and so really,
somewhere.
Yeah. And so most of the polarizing, like even with that statement, like, I don't want to say all the polarizing things, but I would say most of the polarizing things that you see on social media, like it's somewhere in the middle of those things. And it's challenging for consumers because I think it's like the polarizing stuff is like gimmicky and it sounds really, really great. And it's like, you know,
it's clickbait too, don't you think? A lot of it has to do with marketing.
Yeah, I think it is really good marketing. And I think that that's why people that are, tend to be more in the middle of the spectrum, like don't have these gigantic social media followings. Mm-hmm. But I think that the more like, for example, with your platform that you're offering with my platform, like we can do the best that we can to help educate and help inspire and help people see that like, it's not either you completely say like, F it, fuck diets, like I just eat whatever I want, because that's not intuitive eating. It's not. Or being like, I need to be tracking every single thing I put in my mouth until I'm 85, which is also not health. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Finding that sweet spot for you, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Agreed.
Not all right. Easy.
Well, I will let you go, but I'm so glad that you got to be, I'm glad I got to meet you. I'm glad we got to have this conversation, and I hope everyone has an awesome week, and I will see you next week.